Well, it's a joy to be with you tonight to fellowship around the Lord and to sing songs and open His Word and fellowship together.
Amen.
It is Jesus Christ who brings us together. It's His working in us to give us the desire for this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we could care less.
Yes, that's right.
Like we all did one day.
Yes.
But I tell you what, God's on the throne.
Amen.
Still reaching down and converting people, changing their lives with power. And His name is glorified. And until that last soul is saved, we're going to be here.
Yep.
Before that rapture takes place. If it wasn't in the Bible, I would say it's a crazy thing. I don't think people were crazy for that. But it's in the Word, and I believe it.
Yes,
I believe
right.
it. Now, the first time I ever saw John 3:16, I was in the Air Force Station in Charleston, South Carolina. And after I'd been converted, this deacon took me under his wing. He saw God working in my life. I wasn't aware of what God was doing, but he was, you know. He was an older man, and he could sense things. And so, I had told him the Lord had put a call on me, and I wasn't sure what it was, but I loved to speak. I loved to testify. And he says, well, I go to rescue mission once a month, and I'm going to take you down there. And he took me down there. And that was about 40 or 50 people out there. And I turned to John 3:16. And it's still the same message, but we're going to just dig a little bit deeper, I hope, tonight. And look at that. And so it's good to be here. Now, I got a Bible that's falling apart. Ain't that a good thing?
Yes.
Somebody says, if you got a Bible falling apart, that means you're not. But if you got a Bible that looks untouched, you're probably falling apart.
Yes.
There's people falling apart today, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I mean, they've lost their minds.
Yep.
People losing their minds. From the White House, my house, your house. If it wasn't for Jesus, you know, we would all be there.
Yes.
So we need to pray for our nation, pray for our upcoming election. Pray for God to intervene. Give us another opportunity for peace and righteousness and freedom of religion. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Father in heaven, we come to the throne of grace tonight in the name of Jesus. We feel unworthy, but yet we are worthy in you.
Yes.
We feel like we're not adequate, but our adequacy is in thee tonight.
Yes.
And I pray you touch my throat. Help me. Lord, the devil is asking, may the Spirit of God help me even right now.
Yes.
And Lord, speak to our hearts as we gather around this precious Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you take the whole Bible, the Old Testament and New Testament, and just take that one verse that would pretty much summarize what the whole Bible is about, it would be John 3:16.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, they were looking for the Savior, Messiah. And now He has come and did His work and died on the cross, rose from the dead, and went back to heaven, and don't prepare a place for those who believe. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking back. They were looking forward. The prophets talked about Him coming, Jesus Christ coming. Mm-hmm. And now we prophesy what the prophet said. And we prophesy what the Scripture says. This is our prophecy.
Amen.
And no prophecy is given by private interpretation, you know. And we compare Scripture with Scripture. But I tell you what. But in order to get to John 3:16, we need to go to John 3:14. John 3:14. And it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So in order to get into John 3:16, we got to remember the account that John refers to in the Old Testament. Moses was leading the Jews out of Egypt and leading them to the Promised Land. They were well on their way. They had become very discouraged and very upset with because they said, Moses, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die?
Mm-hmm.
And then they were angry with God. God, you knew this was going to happen. Why in the world did you lead us? They became complainers in their spirit, and we're not trusting the sovereignty of God and the will of God. Of course, we'd have probably done the same thing. You know, I mean, they were going through it, friend. No water, eating manna every day.
Yeah.
Hey, I like biscuits, but I don't want to eat them every day. Amen.
Amen.
And so listen, you can understand this, but yet they offended the holiness of God, the plan of God, and the will of God for these people. Now listen, we need to understand something. Well, let me say this first. They were in the wilderness, and numerologists, those who major in studying numbers in the scripture, tell us there were at least 2.5 million people at least in that crowd. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they began complaining. And they were in rebellion. Now, you see, and God told Moses to do this. Get a rod of brass. Brass in the Bible is a symbol of judgment. If you study the tabernacle, you find when the priest made the sacrifice, it was on the brazen altar. That's the place of death, you know, and judgment. And so brass, that represents judgment. And then he made, took a piece of brass and he formed the likeness of a serpent and held it and put it on top. And God told Moses, because the fiery serpents had been sent out in judgment upon them, because of their unbelief, because they were literally just saying, listen, God, you don't know what you're doing. Well, wouldn't that offend you if one of your children told you that?
Yes.
And you were trying to correct them and help them grow up to be somebody? And so God told Moses, lift it up. When you lift it up, and people have been bitten, the Bible said many have died. Who knows how many out of 2.5 million? Many had died. And he lifted it up and he said this. He said, look and live.
Yes.
In other words, if you just simply look, God's going to heal you and you won't die. The venom will not have an effect upon you. You will live because the word of God is more powerful than the venom of snakes.
Yes.
Venom of snakes. And but this word look, it doesn't mean, well, just take a Philippians glance. It doesn't mean, you know, well, you know, it's not important, but I'll look anyway. Just to be religious, I'll look. Oh, no. They're dying. Venom is in their veins. They're about to die. And unless God intervenes, they're going to die.
Mm.
And they will die in sin. So, when they looked, it was a long look of trust, hope, faith that Moses told us God told Moses, tell us what to do. And I'm going to do it by faith.
Yes.
And they lived. They did die.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure there were some who said, hey, that's too simple. I'm too educated to believe something that simple. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, a lot of people think we're crazy when we preach Christ, when we preach the cross. You know, they say, it's got to be simpler than that, than just to trust in Jesus, just believe in Jesus. But it's a mystery, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a revelation by the Spirit of God. The Bible says if we seek the Lord, we will find Him.
Mm.
If people really want to seek, know the Lord, they can find Him. They will find Him. God will send somebody to them to show them the way. Just like He showed me and somebody showed you. Amen?
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
But listen, God chose the Jewish people. You think about this. He chose the Jewish people to reveal who He is. And He chose the Jewish people to manifest that through their actions and reactions to His prophets and His will.
Hmm.
And so God revealed His righteousness, His holiness, His judgment, and His love.
Amen.
What they're going through over there today is a result of unbelief. They have rejected Jesus as Messiah.
Yes.
But now, many Jews are coming from all the earth, going back to the homeland. We're about to see the curtain drop. And they're going to come. The whole nation is going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ one day.
Yeah,
so right now, brother, they need our prayers. They need our help.
Yeah.
And thank God we still back Israel.
Yes.
Hold your question to the end. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyway. So God chose the Jewish people to manifest Himself to the other nations that had their own gods and worshipped idols. And so that's the backdrop for John 3:16. Now, okay. Now, the word for is there for a reason. After John had just said, referred back to that event we just talked about, he says, for God. All right, so we understand now there was something taking place there that is an example and an image of what's going to take place in the future in our world in time. So, for God. Who is God? There's all kinds of gods people got, you know.
Yes.
Every nation got their, all over the world, they got their own gods. And some religions have millions of gods.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Listen, there's one God.
Yes.
I know a little Greek. I know a little Greek. He runs a hot dog stand. I know a little Hebrew. He runs a restaurant on the other corner. But anyway, study a little bit, learn a little bit along the way. But the word God is theos in the Greek. Elohim in the Hebrew.
Yes.
It is the same as Yahweh. It's the same as Jehovah. It's the same as El. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's Elohim.
Yes.
That means more than one. Not one, more than one God, but more than one in the Godhead. But I don't like to refer to Trinity. I like to refer to Godhead.
Yeah.
Godhead. If you say Trinity, it's like we worship three gods. No, we worship one God. Manifest the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now, more on that later. But listen, God, this is Elohim. This is Theos. Okay. The Great One, the Almighty Creator, the Sustainer of all things, material and non-material. The spirit world. He owns it all. He
yeah.
made it all. He's in charge of it all. He's over all. He's more powerful than it all. We're talking about the Almighty Creator God.
Yes.
Well, that's who we're talking about, for God. So. All right. In other words, so here means in this manner, purposely, this God of this universe, our Creator, He so loved. And the word love, there are several words for love in the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
This is agape. That is the highest, the most supreme, the greatest love. John tells us in 1 John, God is light. God is love.
Yes.
God is love. He cannot even think of anything other than love. God loves. Now the world people look at today, they look at circumstances, they look at things they've been through in life, they don't understand, they're in darkness, and they come to the conclusion that God can't be loved. If He was love, why didn't let this happen to me? They don't see the picture, see? God sees the total picture.
Yeah.
I can think of that things in my life, and you think of things in your life. At that time, you were wondering, why in the world am I going through this?
Mm-hmm.
But later on down the road of life, you look back and see, I see the hand of God.
Yes.
My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. My grandparents took me and raised me from the time I was 8 years old. If they had not done that, no telling where I would be today.
Yeah.
But God was in every bit of it.
Yeah,
they taught me the work ethic. I got up at 12 years old. I got up in the mountains in the valley. I mean, it gets cold up there, brother.
Yeah.
18 degrees, 12 degrees, you know, 20-some degrees. And snow, ice. But I had to deliver papers. 150 papers before I even went to school. I got back to the house after delivering the papers, and then I walked to school an hour and a half because I was scared to ride the bus. The bus driver hit the curb and afraid it would turn over. You know, I look back on those things and say, boy, I really went, but it was producing character in me.
Yeah.
It was producing the ethic in me. It was producing character, you know. And stability and strength, you know. I don't give up just the least little thing gets in my way. I just look to the left and right and keep right on trucking it. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's right.
He loved us, agape, at the highest degree. It's unconditional love. It's He willingly loves us. There's not a person on the planet, that's ever been on the planet, that God didn't love, and He proved it when He sent Jesus. All right? He so loved what? The world. Well, we're not talking about rocks and dirt and trees.
No.
I mean, hug the tree, take care of the turtle. We ought to do that, Lord. They're not gods, amen. I mean, God loves them, of course he does. He put them here.
Yes.
But listen, he's talking about people here. He so loved the world. He loves the entire universe.
Yeah.
Hey, I believe he spoke it into being. I don't believe in evolution.
Yeah.
Not at all. I think it's a trick and a lie of the devil.
Yeah.
Even Darwin himself denied it before he died, you know. And listen, and they were teaching, they still teach stuff like that in our school, you know. And they turn out to be atheists. They turn out to be agnostics. They turn out to be cults, join cults and searching for this and that and the other. Listen, that was a day when the Bible was read in school. That was the day when prayer was offered in school. That was the day when one of the students that was a good example to everybody and went to church and read the Bible, that they would get on the speaker and everybody in every room would hear a devotion before they started their classes.
Yes.
All right. Madam Murray O'Hara goes to Washington, D.C. in 1973, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Carried 50,000 signatures. Stopped prayer in school. Take Bible reading out of school. I'm not saying teach the Bible in school. Just read it. Just read it. That's all. It's still the bestseller in the world.
Yep, yep.
The bestseller in the world is the Bible. And to this day, God has preserved his word.
Yes.
He has preserved it. Let's say, over in Psalms, you know, he's preserved his word. And anyway, God loves everything he has made. I do too. I love everything he's made. You know. And so, God loved us. He loved the world. He like that. That word "that" can be used in the our English language as a proverb, as an adjective, as a conjunction, and as a pronoun. It's used as a pronoun here, and that means God is the subject. God so loved the world that. That means that God, that creator God, that God who loves, that God who is, I am that I am, that God. He so loved the world that. He is, in the Greek language, you've got three tenses. You've got the masculine, you've got the feminine, and you've got the neuter. Okay? Neutral. All right. Now, he, that's masculine. God refers to himself as a he. And they want to print Bibles calling God a she? They want to print Bibles calling God a transvestite? Whatever how you say it. You know what I'm talking about? This is incredible what we're going through today, folks. It's blasphemy. And, you know, we're seeing wickedness in the raw today. Our culture has changed. But listen, God, he's male. This is Jehovah. This is Jehovah God. God has no wife. God doesn't need a wife.
Yes.
Adam needed a wife. To what? Complete him. To be his help. Not mate, but meat.
Meat, yep.
We're co-equal with God. They were paid. Adam was made in the image of God. So was Eve. Eve was made in the image of God. Christianity does not demean women. It exalts them to the highest plane possible on this planet.
Yep.
In relationships.
Yep.
These women, movements and so forth, are demonic.
Yes.
Demonic. They have tore up families, tore up homes, scattered children all over the earth. It's not of God, you know. Of course they should get the same pay a man gets. I can see that part of it, but as far as, you know, I'm better than man, you know. No, no. We're co-equal. We just have different responsibilities. Different responsibilities, that's all. I'm glad I don't have to have a baby, praise God. I'm glad.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be a woman for nothing. Amen. I tell you what, men ought to pray for women more than any other sex areas. Amen.
Yeah.
They have something to really put up with. Number one, to put up with you, right?
Yeah.
All right. And me. All right. So, I was married 52 years. The Lord took my wife to heaven about 6 years ago. I know what marriage is all about. I know, amen. Anyway, God doesn't need a wife, and God doesn't have any biological children. You hear me? There's one of the biggest religions in the world today teach that God had a relationship with Virgin Mary and produced Jesus. Blasphemy.
Yeah.
Folks, and they're very intelligent people, they're very wealthy people, and it's a very large religion, but it's of the devil.
Yep.
if you study it out, they teach that Jesus and the devil are brothers. Oh my soul, folks, we're really into it today. In the latter days, we find that false religions will rise, false Christ will rise,
yes.
And we've seen that in the past 100 years. It's unparalleled to any other generation. All right. God, it doesn't need a wife. He doesn't have any biological children. By the way, God doesn't have any grandchildren. So are you going to heaven when you die, young man? Oh, yeah, my grandpa's the preacher. God don't have any. Hey, we meet the Lord personally.
Yes.
It's a personal thing. It bothers me when entire families come down to join the church. Wait a minute now. Somebody talk to them individually.
Yes.
I preached on John 3:16 one time on the Spur of the Moment. I didn't know it was a preach that day. We were having a special day. I was belonging to a church in Winston-Salem, Gospel Lake Baptist Church. They run 40 buses. We've had between 500 and 600 kids in there. And when I got there, Brother Frank, he said, "Brother, the Lord said you're preaching today." I said, "Brother, I didn't know I could preach today. I'm not really ready." He said, "Well, get in the prayer room and get ready." I went in there and prayed. I mean, I prayed, you know. I prayed everything I knew to pray. I said, "Lord." And I preached on John 3:16. 28 young people accepted Christ. They were dealt with individually.
Yes.
Individually. God so loved the world that He gave. That means, here's what it means. He handed him over. You know, over in Isaiah says it pleased the Lord to bruise His Son.
Yes.
Wait a minute. What kind of God we got here? What kind of Heavenly Father we got here that would do this? Wait a minute. He could see the total picture. This was all settled before the world came into existence.
Yes.
In the mind of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, see? And the Son said, "I'll go. I'll be willing to go. Take a body. Go through the humiliation, go through the rejection, because they could see the future and what we're bringing in the present generation and what the ultimate outcome would be." So they tell me that when Vietnam was going on, brother, that of course sometimes they couldn't tell the enemy from the other because they looked alike and had some uniforms alike, but when they came to the camp and they were to take away the babies from their mothers, their mothers would scream out and cry and hug the babies and would not let them take the babies unless they took them too. And the mothers gave their life for their babies.
Mm.
What love, amen? But listen, God handed over. God gave forth of his one of Himself. He gave as an object of His care for humanity.
Yes, that's right.
Listen, people. People give their very life for phony, baloney religions. Mm-hmm. For fanatical religions. Mm-hmm. I know a young man now was going through PTS, post-traumatic, that was in Afghanistan. And I knew something was bothering him. Matter of fact, my granddaughter's husband. And she said that he told me one day, said, "This child came into camp that was strapped down with bombs. Mm-hmm. The blood, it would kill all of them there. And about 5 or 6 of them had to kill the child. And before it got close enough to blow everybody up."
Mm-hmm.
"And he's not sure if his bullet hit that child or not." Isn't that tragic? But listen, Jesus wanted to do what He did. Why did He do that? You know, the thing that really grabbed me when I was lost in that world without God, without hope, and living my sinful life? God loves you.
Yes.
What? No. My own parents divorced and they took off. What do you mean, God? Yeah, God loves you. Well, it's good to know somebody loves me. Because I don't love myself sometimes. That was a good news for me. All right, so the Lord, the Father handed over the Son. And God so loved the world that He gave His. Here we see the masculine again. Showing that this shows the Father, the relationship of the Father to the Son. You see, when it comes to acknowledgement, when it comes to each having their own individual responsibilities in the Godhead. The Father acknowledges the Son that He gave His only. There you go. That means only one of its kind. It's monogenous. And it means the only one of its kind. The one and only. The unique one. The exact same nature of God Himself. Of the same nature. And not a creation. Jesus was not created.
Right.
A body hast thou provided me in the book of Hebrews. A body. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost formed the body of Jesus in the womb of Virgin Mary. His only begotten. Now that's the same thing as born. An offspring. Listen, if God took clay, the word is dirt, but it's actually red clay,
right,
if you study it out. So what color was Adam? A red man.
Yes.
Not yellow, not black, not white, but red. Alright? And He made Adam, and then He put him to sleep, took a rib. It wasn't in the foot, it wasn't in the brain, it was from the side near the heart, and made him a wife.
Hmm.
And who named her? Adam. The legal caller. Woman. One brother said, when he saw her, he said, "Whoa, man." Huh? When you saw her, did you say, "Whoa, man"?
Yeah.
Huh?
Did.
"Whoa, man." Yeah. Okay. And born an offspring. So here, listen. We say we believe in the virgin birth. I'm going to wake you up now. I don't believe in the virgin birth. I told you I'd wake you up. I believe in the virgin conception. It was a natural birth.
Yeah.
You got me?
Yep.
I'm not preaching heresy. We just saying it wrong. Mm-hmm. She was the virgin conceived, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed her.
That's good.
Overshadowed her.
Right.
It's hard for me to talk since I come from the mountain, you know. But anyway, she overshadowed her. Shadowed her. I don't understand that. I really don't. But I believe it. And the body of Jesus was formed right there. But Jesus was born through the natural birth channel just like any other child. But his conception is what was the miracle.
Yes.
And it was a biological miracle that took place.
Yes.
Listen, we're told today that the child gets the blood from the son, from the father, not the mother. But if the mother's blood gets into the placenta, gets into the baby, it can actually poison the child. Mm-hmm. My second granddaughter had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. They had to give her two blood transfusions. She's as healthy and alert and as active and athletic as she can be. Married, got a little boy, and is a nurse out in Illinois. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, folks, this thing is real. God, they gave His only begotten Son. Son here is huios, and then there's another word, technon. Huios means infant. Technon means from 2 years old or up.
Yeah.
Sometimes technon is used of all children, but mostly it's specialized. When Jesus was born, it's huios. But when the Magi came to give Him gifts, He was a technon. He was 2 years old or older. You remember Herod wanted to have all the babies killed from 2 years old down?
That's right. Yeah.
Listen, the devil hates Jesus Christ. The devil hates this Bible. The devil hates you. He does not want you to understand what I'm talking about tonight. He does not want you to believe what I'm talking about tonight. He does not want that world to come in this room and hear this tonight.
Yes.
He is hindering people. Satan is hindering people from the truth.
Yeah.
Because Satan knows that people get under the truth, they just might get converted and he'll lose their soul.
Yep.
Some people don't believe in the devil no more.
Yes.
They don't. They don't believe in the devil no more. I tell you, you just start serving Jesus. You'll find that is real. Amen.
Amen.
God's the Lord gave His only begotten Son that. There's the word that again. That means in this manner. In this manner. You see, Jesus could have died of a disease, but he didn't. Right. There were children dying of diseases in those days, but Jesus didn't die. Jesus could have been kidnapped and killed. Many children were kidnapped and killed then, as they are today, with these maniacs out here, and psychos and so forth. But listen, just like today, we have organizations. We got babies dying in the cribs, right? Mm-hmm. I hate to even think about it.
Sure.
But we got the SID group out there. We got the SUID. We got the FIDS group, and sudden death syndrome and all that. And did you know in the year 2020, if these statistics are right, the 3,400 infants that died in the crib in America last year 2020.
Wow.
And they 905 of them because of suffocation. Now listen to this. I think we make the bed too easy for our children sometimes, or our grandchildren. Well, I had it rough. They're not going to have it that rough. You'll spoil them rotten. They need to have it tough just like you had it tough.
Yep.
I gave my son a job to do one thing. My wife got mad at me. I said, what are you upset at me? Yeah, well, it's 99 degrees out there. You got him out there washing down the trailer. I said, listen, I went through worse than that when I was coming up. He needs to get tough and get away from watching his ball games a lot.
Yeah.
Amen. She understood then. Amen. That argument was over. It was over. And but due to suffocation, I could tell you some stories tonight, but we won't take time to go there. But anyway, 27% of the babies that died in the cribs was because of strangulation. The little ropes hanging down from the blinds. They're being sued left and right today because of that. What's wrong with putting a blind out with a rod on it, you know? Why are you going to have the ropes? And don't put a child's crib near where the ropes are.
Right.
Come on, folks. What's going on this world? Listen. We've lost our common sense. Are y'all still awake? Everybody happy?
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love this one.
Yes.
I hate racism. I hate racism.
Amen.
To the bottom of the core of my soul.
Yes.
Folks, when I went in the military, I was with several races. Amen.
Yes.
And you were too.
Yep.
And, but listen, God loves everyone.
Yes.
Whosoever. Whosoever means anyone. It means everyone. Red, yellow, black, or white. You know why Cassius Clay become a Muslim? I know a guy that witnessed to him. He said, Cassius Clay said, listen, I'm not going to believe in a blue-eyed, white-headed, white Jesus. I'm going over and talk to the Muslims. Because most of them are skin a different color. Now, I wouldn't say it to him without a bar between us, but I would say, Muhammad, you really messed up big time there, buddy. Amen. Never messed up his face, but I tell you what, his soul got messed up that day.
Yes.
Can't nobody do nothing but respect a man like that, but he made a wrong decision that day. He became a Muslim.
Yep.
And gave his false God the glory.
Yep.
I tell you, gave him his power. Satan did. Deceived a lot of young people.
Yep.
Whosoever. God loves whosoever.
Yes.
You know, that's something else that really gripped me when I was a young person. God loves me just like I am.
Yes.
He will change me. He will make me a better person. Amen. And that grabbed me too. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, and that word believeth means to be convinced.
Yes.
Faith. To give us confidence to put our trust in, to rely upon. Now, I'm confident that chair right there, Brother Dave, sitting in will hold me up. You know why? Because he's twice as big as I am. They'll hold him or hold me. Amen, brother?
Amen.
They'll hold me.
That's
so,
right.
I'm confident of that, see? Now, when we come to realize if Jesus Christ changed that drug addict, changed that prostitute,
yes.
changed that drug pusher, changed that whosoever was so mob leader, If he changed them, I'm not near as bad as they are. He can change me.
That's right.
Right.
Amen? Look at these powerful testimonies we got on CD. Every day Jesus what? God's changing people that are deep into sin, evil, wicked, ungodly, devil worshippers.
Yes.
He's changing them, and they're preaching the gospel. That's the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody Jesus Christ did not die for tonight. We're almost there. That whosoever believeth in him. Now, to believe in him is the same as to believe on him.
Yes.
You believe in him, you believe in on him. Mm-hmm. It means to confide in, to believe in him, to put your trust in. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just like a while ago, I believe in chairs, but I'm not going to sit down in just any chair. If it's just a walking back and forth and look like it may fall down, I'm not going to sit on that. I'm going to find something stable, right?
Right.
Listen, there's nobody that's ever been on this earth that can give us more stability and hope and truth than Jesus Christ did.
That's good. Amen.
He that believeth in him. Now listen to this. If we will do this, then the Bible says we will not perish. We should not. For the reason it says should and not would is because maybe you will, maybe you won't.
Right.
But if you do,
right,
you won't perish.
Right. That's good.
To put trust in Jesus. Shall not perish. Now we come into the clincher here. The word perish. I'm almost through. You didn't know so much in John 3:16, did you? Perish. Now get this. It does mean destroyed, being killed, turned to ruin, eternal separation from God with conscious suffering. God is nowhere in your presence. This is all wrapped up in the word perish. Forever perishing. Now this physical body is deteriorating, and after we pass, it will deteriorate in the casket.
Yes.
Within a matter of months, the bones and the teeth and the hair will take much, much longer to deteriorate, but eventually it will all be deteriorated to dust.
Mm.
Our physical body. But this word perish here is going beyond the physical. It's going to the conscious you that lives in your body right now.
Wow.
You see, when you die, that's not the end of it. That's the end of your body until resurrection day.
Yes.
Right.
But the real you in your body right now is going to be conscious, alive, alert, subject to pain and suffering, or subject to blessings and great glory.
Right.
It depends on what we do with Jesus Christ. You see, to perish means there's no mercy. There's no forgiveness. There's no blessings. There's agony. There's pain. There's conscious suffering. But here's the word. Forever.
Yeah.
Can I illustrate forever? A sparrow bird flies to the moon, carries one grain of sand from earth, flies around the moon and back the earth to pick up another grain of sand. Once that little bird has taken all that sand from this earth to that moon, it's not 1 minute that has passed in eternity. Forever!
Mm.
This is a forever decision a person makes.
Yes.
You're going to go to hell or heaven forever!
Yes.
To be in hell forever? Mm. I mean, you know, we can take punishment for a while. If I was just going there for maybe a day or a year or so, or maybe I could just get through that. No. There's no getting out. It's eternal. And one day hell shall be cast into the lake of fire.
Yes.
Well, this thing is real. People take Jesus so lightly. They say, why are these people getting so upset about the world and what's going on? Because it has everything to do with eternity. Now, we're only here for just a breath and we're gone.
Amen.
I'm 80 years old, and it seemed like just yesterday I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It goes so fast.
Yes.
And the older you get, the faster it goes. And then you start slowing down a little bit and you start hurting. I wish this day was over, amen. Listen, friend, there's no party in hell. There's nothing but hate and violence and fear and pain and gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
Right.
Why is this going to happen? Because people have shook their fist to God by not believing in Jesus.
Amen.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but, in other words, instead of considering all that's been said, have, but those who of us who believe have, that means now and forever continuing, everlasting life.
Wow.
A blessing continues beyond this world. What was that song? What was that? I held it out here. We were singing that a while ago. Hold it. I made the precious reference. Okay. Cross closing the eyes, shine through gloom and point the skies, have them on break, things have fleet. Oh, yeah. But anyway, it's about dying somewhere. I forgot. Maybe I got the wrong song. But anyway, you know, this song makes all the sense. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what I'm looking for.
Yes. Amen.
You mean you Christians looking forward to dying? Nobody wants to die. But Christians are not going to die.
Yes.
Only the body's going to die. The real Christians, they're just going to, hey, get quick. You only, hey, He's going to deliver your spirit and soul so quick you only know your body died. That's grace, friend. What bothers me is how I die. That's something you got to leave in the Lord's hands.
That's right.
I could have a heart attack tonight. I wear this little button right here in case I sit here and push it. Hey, Christians don't want to die, but we know that's the only way you'll get to heaven.
That's right.
And that's to die, so we count it all joy, even to die.
Amen.
Praise God, and then we shout the victory at the funeral.
Yes.
It's wonderful to know Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, you search it out. The greatest fear in the world today is death.
Yes.
You know, they don't talk about it. They change the name death to, you know, something happens to me. Right?
But,
are you with me tonight? Listen, folks, this is reality. Everlasting life. Blessings continue beyond. What's the difference in everlasting life and eternal life? Well, eternal life is what God gives us.
Yeah.
Everlasting life is what He keeps going on from here on once we trust in Jesus. That's the way I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you hear something better, let me know. That's the way I understand it. And folks, this has been a great study for me. I enjoy it.
Amen.
I had about 10 revivals before I got here. This thing is real.
Yeah.
But listen, the bottom line is this, folks. People are lost, and they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had done wrong. I knew I was a sinner. But I didn't know I was going to die and go to hell if I did not change.
Right.
And I thought I could change myself. But I couldn't. I made New Year's resolutions every year, but I'd break them before February got there. But I tell you what, when God takes over your life, here's the something the devil don't want people to know. He's going to help you live it.
Yeah.
He's going to help you through it, and you can still shout the victory and be an overcomer. We're overcomers through Him.
Right.
We're overcomers through Him. Folks, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Praise be His name. I know this is late, mostly just for salvation, and you profess salvation, and I only know one person is saved, and that's me. You don't know your child is saved. You don't know your wife is saved. You don't know your husband is saved. Now, it looks pretty good like they are. And a lot of people, they have one thing at home and something else at the church. But if your husband saved, your wife saved, your children saved, there's some reality there. There's some fellowship there. There's a desire there. And we need to pray. Amen. I just want to conclude with this. This Amplify I got amplified here. All right, I hadn't typed in 20 years. I went to the library and typed this. I had typed it twice. But anyway, that's an amplification from the study. It's not a translation. It's an amplification. And I just wanted to amplify that in just one paragraph so you could take it with you. And amen.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you know you're saved. These things I've written to you, Scripture says, that you may know that you have eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the life, hath the Son, hath life. We have it right now. People, I didn't know you could know you could go to heaven when you died. I didn't know you could know where you would go when you died. When I was lost, before I got informed and got under the Word, and somebody looked me in my face and talked to me straight, thank God. I could talk all night about how that happened. Let me tell you something. It's not a Philippian decision, just a glance at the cross. It is, oh God, have mercy on my lost soul. I believe you're dying for me. I trust you to save me. Thy blood was shed to pay for my sin. To testify, that means paid in full. Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
All to him we go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Howard Slough, 23 January 2024, home group meeting. Amen.